This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting to your program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we've called this program for 20 years, 20 plus years now, Raising the Standard. So we welcome you and greet you, and we trust that you're going to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God will have to say to you today. And it's not about Donna and I, it's about what the Holy Word has to say and all the patterns we have. And so we welcome you to the program. And you heard the intro. We do a lot with the Jewish things, and they're really God's things. It was given to the Jewish people, but we know that they were the ones that put it in place for us to understand things today. And so we thank you for all the things that we have in the First Covenant, Lord. Hallelujah. So much, so many patterns to show us what's going to happen in this day and this hour. So we welcome you to the program. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, as we tell you every week, because we're on from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And if you can't stay in a position at home or traveling where you can listen to the whole program, and you'd like to get a copy of it to hear it again, all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make out a check to the ministry, which is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. The address is Post Office Box 413, that's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. And so whatever the Lord would tell you, if you want to have a CD of this, just send a love offering in. We'll be glad to send you out a copy of what we're going to talk about today. We're still talking about the signs in the heavens and all. We got this day coming on Monday. We're going to have a full solar eclipse on Monday. And we found out also last week as we taught on this that 40 days from that day, which will be a little one, it's going to take us out to the Day of Atonement. Wow. One of the appointed time, one of the most important time with the Jewish people, the day that they fast and don't eat, do anything except worship the Lord on that particular day, the Day of Atonement. And we know the Bible shows us that's a day assigned to the nation of Israel for their redemption if they come to Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. So we welcome you to the program. We're on every Saturday, as we said, from 12 noon until 1. And we're honored to be here with you. And we'll share some more things today. We got talking this week a little bit, my wife and I, about Revelation chapter 12. John also saw a huge sign in heaven, and we're going to discuss that in a little more detail here today. We spent most of the time last week talking about the solar eclipse that's going to be here on the 21st. And where I would like to start today.
Well, let me say, give some information
I'm
before
let
you
Donna
go.
I'm going to give some information
bang, you're ready to
before,
go.
Before we start here, because it's hard to get all this in 56 minutes. We actually have air time. You know, where we can try to train you and explain and teach you the things that God wants you to know. So Pastor Donna's got some things she'd like to share.
Well, the reason we're going to Revelation chapter 12 is because it has to do with this solar eclipse.
Right. Amen?
Mm-hmm. And the prophetic words, of course, many people have no idea what's going on spiritually as far as the solar eclipse goes. But we know that the Bible says that there'll be signs in the heavens.
Genesis 1.
For times and for seasons and for years and for even days.
That's
And I believe even hours. You know, God is a God of accuracy, and everything is
in order.
Perfect. In order. Everything is perfect and in order.
That's right.
Well, I want to mention that we are on the internet as well. So if you want to listen to, if you're listening from the radio right now and you want to listen to this again later, you can either call and get a order a CD, or you can go and listen to it again on the internet on WCNO.com. And all of our teachings are on there. Just go to the program guide, that would be for Saturday, and look for Raising the Standard, and that would be from 12 noon until 1 p.m.
Every week.
Every week. Well, I'm still a little short on breath, so keep me in prayer as far as, you know, my lungs improving daily, day by day. And went to the doctor this week, and he said it's going to take time because I was in the hospital for a long time, and recovery time. I guess it could happen overnight. I trust the Lord it would, but he said it's going to take some time for me to get my strength back.
Try.
To what I had before I got sick. But I thank God that He is my healer. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to mention also that we have services or meetings with the Lord here every week in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we're downtown Stuart, and right on Canner Highway, the main road coming into Stuart. And we meet every Friday night at 7 p.m. for our Shabbat service. And we also teach and study the Torah, our Torah. Right now we're in Deuteronomy.
Right.
We're in the last book of the Torah. So there's five books in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And the Jewish people go through them every year. And so we're following that as well. And I'll tell you, you think you're just learning things about Israel. We're not. We're learning things about ourselves. Because in the Torah, it's the teaching and instructions of the Lord. It's the word Bible calls it law, but it's Torah, means teaching and instructions of the Lord.
Amen? That's right, to walk a holy life.
So we need to know those things, and we can see all the examples that Moses went through.
Amen.
With the children of Israel during that time when they were in the wilderness. So we don't have anything on Saturday right now during the summertime, but we also have Sunday morning. We come together at 11 a.m. And we come together and we have service and meeting with the Lord. And we also have a fellowship meal afterwards. So come sometime and visit us. Maybe you want to plan on staying a while because we fellowship and we have service and music. And then we have a late lunch. And I want to give you our phone number in case you'd like to give us a phone call. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Amen. We are 007 agents for the Lord.
Amen.
Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And
that's
we want to
is.
Bless you today, and we want to say hello to you. Say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island, building the temple of God.
Yes.
And the building is coming up. It's beautiful. And it's not completed yet. Still a lot of work to be done. Still a lot of funds needed to actually, the roof is going to be pretty expensive to put a roof on it.
Yeah.
And the outer walls are all up. The concrete is partially poured. They're in part of the building, so temporarily. And working on finishing up the rest of the inside, the flooring, and then the next thing would be, of course, some of the windows are in already. Next thing would be the roof. The roof, the stresses and all those things and the roof. So that's going to be pretty hefty price probably.
Yeah,
but
probably.
You need a good roof.
You sure do, especially over there in the islands, yeah.
You need a good roof. They're on Andros Island in the Bahamas, so if you ever go there, give us a call. We'd be glad to give you. They would love to have you come by and visit and see the church. Pray with them. They'll pray with you. They'll prophesy over you. They'll minister to you. And you will be blessed. You will be blessed.
That's
super
right.
Blessed.
Hurricane Matthew didn't bother them at all, did it? Because it was built. All the other buildings were wiped away except for the foundations, most of them. But that building stood solid as a rock. Roscoe used to work in construction. He knows how to do everything the right way, and he does it the right way. So they were not touched because He's being led of the Lord how to do it. Amen.
That's right. And it's going to be strong, strong, strong.
Strong, strong.
And like they're strong in the Lord. We got to build a strong foundation.
That's right.
Of course, we know our foundation is built on none other than Jesus Christ alone.
That's right.
He is our foundation. Amen.
He's everything, yes.
Well, we're just a few hours really away from this solar eclipse.
That's right.
And before you start, I just want to mention one thing that, you know, a lot of people are finding out more and more things. And, you know, as you study the path of this this first one, we know there's going to be one that goes start. It's on the 21st, and as we study the path just of this one, I don't think people have even studied the path of the second one that much.
That's 7 years from now, right?
Which is 7 years from now. But you know, everyone talked about it starting in Salem, Oregon. Well, I've come to find out this week there's more than one. There's a lot of Salems.
How many did we find
out in the United States? Well, the Wikipedia says there's 26,
which is God's number.
Number
for Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, yeah.
for the Aleph.
That's
actually
right.
The first letter of the alphabet.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the last one that crosses the United States has to do with the Tav.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he's the Aleph and the Tav. He's the beginning and the end. He's
right.
Everything in between.
That's right, he is.
Well, it's interesting that between, I'm talking about from Oregon to when it finally finishes and crosses the whole United States, which I think is going to take maybe approximately an hour and a half. It goes about 1,000 miles an hour or something like that.
It's going to come out in the South Carolina area, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I found out that everyone talks about Salem. Of course, we know Salem was the place that in the Bible, for one of the first places that's mentioned in the Bible about Israel, Jerusalem. And we know that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek.
That's right.
And who is Melchizedek a picture of, Pastor Gene?
Of Yeshua.
He's a picture of Yeshua.
That's right.
A picture of Yeshua. Well, praise God for that.
Amen. Paul wrote about him in the book of Hebrews, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting that this place in Salem, Salem, Oregon, it's interesting about this state. I mean, you wouldn't think of it. It's a capital of the U.S. state of Oregon. Salem is the capital. And what is Jerusalem the capital of?
Capital of the world, really.
Capital of the world.
That's right.
And here we have, you know, he gave him tithes of all.
That's right.
Abraham honored him. And, you know, he had no beginning and no end.
That's what the Bible says.
We know that that's talking about, it talks about in Hebrews as well, right, Pastor
Gene?
We don't have time to go to all these places, but you can need to you need to be, like Pastor Gene says, you need to be a Berean and you need to start hunting. Go through the Bible and start hunting. You'll be a hunt. You know, don't just be a surface reader. Don't just read your Bible. But when you see something, start hunting and see and do some study. There's so many ways that we can study now. I mean, there's so much information. Even if you just go to Google, you know, you can find out. But it's interesting. It's the capital of U.S. state of Oregon, and it's in the city. It's the county seat, actually.
Right. You know,
county seat. It means a place of authority.
Yep.
You know, Martin County is the county seat. It's a county seat. And so that's why God's given us authority when we do the Bible marathon here. So that's a place of authority. I thought that was pretty interesting. And, you know, it's not a very big place, Salem, Oregon. Mm-hmm. It's not a very big place. And it was founded way back in 1842. It was an Oregon territory in 1851. It was incorporated in 1857. Well, it's very interesting that the second place it goes, the second state that it goes to would be, do you know what one state that would be, Pastor Gene? That would be Idaho.
Okay, you follow the trail.
Right.
We have a good couple we love out lives in Idaho.
It would be. Hold on a second. I'm just trying to get my map here up here, and it doesn't seem to want to come up. The second state would be right. It's Idaho, isn't it, Gene?
Mm-hmm.
Idaho.
Yeah, so, Idaho's right next door, yeah, going mm-hmm. east, yeah.
Idaho, right next door, going east. And guess what city it goes through there? Guess what the name of the city is that it goes through?
Salem?
Another Salem.
That's right.
Can you believe that? Another Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Salem, Idaho.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, Salem, Idaho, for some reason, I seem to have lost my place. I'm going to have to hit it back up. Salem, Idaho. There we go. Get it back on my MapQuest. I love these MapQuests, you know. You can just go and find a map and look. It takes you right to it. and you can see Salem, Idaho. Well, then you can zoom in. And I thought, well, this is really interesting. Salem, Idaho. And Salem, Idaho is it's on Church Street.
That's a good name.
Salem Church Road.
Church Street, huh?
And it's also at the crossing of Salem, North Salem Road. There's two of them.
Uh-huh.
And it's also right there. There's a Salem also, like Park, National Park. So it's right there on Church Street. It's actually on Church Street Road. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So the next place it goes is there. And so here we go, all these places here that it's going to be touching. And the next, of course, it's going to go through a lot of cities. A lot of cities. And before you get started, I'm just going to mention some of the places it's going to go through that have the Salem. Idaho, there's a Salem, Montana.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually, I have all the, where did I put it at? Back over here. On my Facebook. I actually posted on my Facebook. I have a Facebook page. If anybody would like to have my Facebook page, you can Facebook me at Jean-Donna-Our-Last-Name, H-E-A-L-T-O-N. So there's seven places, seven Salems it's going to hit. There could be more, but as far as I know, there's Salem. Salem, Oregon, Idaho, Salem, Wyoming, Salem, Nebraska, Salem, Montana, Salem, Kentucky, and the last Salem is Salem, South Carolina. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
All of these Salems. And I think about Salem, we think about Jerusalem. Is God not connecting the two, showing us something?
Sure, it's the middle.
You know, and Salem was a place of beginnings, you know, and everything. And Salem's going to be the place of the ending, too.
Yep. Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
That's right.
It is Jerusalem. Salem's name is Jerusalem, same as Jerusalem.
It's like Melchizedek. It's in the Bible. It says he had no beginning or no ending. Yeshua had no beginning. He has no ending. He's going to be here forever. And so what was Melchizedek? He was a priest and a king. The Messiah is priest and king. So now what a pattern. And Paul talked about it a lot in Hebrews chapter 10.
And who's coming back to be priest and king?
9, huh?
Well, yeah. He calls us priests and kings, but
that's
Jesus
right.
is coming. He's returning.
That's right.
Is the rapture close by? I mean, catching away, I believe it may be.
That's right.
I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but I believe that the people who are, there's people alive right now who will be here when the catching away comes.
That's right.
And, you know, so many people... And I would say something about people's eyes. They say that people are selling glasses for this eclipse that are not their fake glasses.
You better be careful, yes.
There's going to be a lot of eye doctors that are going to get a lot of business. Because, you know, there are people that are running to this eclipse as though it were a god.
Yeah, to worship it almost.
Now, you think about that. They're not looking at it like we're going to talk about it spiritually. They're running. It's going to be like a party.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people... in hotels and motels and people all along this whole place. People are running to it, not just and believers as well, Christians and non-Christians, and it's like, you know, oh, this is hasn't happened, we'll never see this again. It hasn't happened in 99 years,
yeah,
99 years, you know. And so here this is going to happen
at this time. Yeah,
people are running to this, they're flocking to it like it was a Mardi Gras, and they're going to turn it into a Mardi Gras.
That's
what they're going to do. They're going to turn it into nothing but party, drinking, alcohol,
yeah.
Sex. This is what they did. If you look at what they did when Moses was up on the mountain getting the law from God, what did they do? They built an idol, a golden idol to worship.
And
they were partying and they were having lustful and sex, and they were doing all of these abominable things. And angry, Moses was angry, and well, God was wroth. God was angry as well. You know, Moses broke through those Ten Commandments down when he came down
That's
that
right.
mountain. And he saw, God said, get down off the mountain. Look what the people are doing. So what are the people doing now? They're doing the same thing they did back then.
Most people ignore it, yeah.
So
the significance
of
it.
But we want you to know what these things mean and how it all converses, is that the right word?
Yeah,
and
converges, yeah.
Converges, and how we can see these because of the signs and because
That's
of
right.
the constellations and because of what Pastor Jean is going to talk about, Virgo and Jupiter and the different planets. And this is the first time, and I can't remember exactly, I forget it may be the first time in history that all of these 12 stars have come together this year, like it did when Messiah was born.
Yeah.
Okay, Pastor Gene. I know you got a lot to
no,
share.
No, I don't. I'm just, we can't get this all done in 1 week. Maybe we talk about it again next week.
We need to talk about this here. This is Revelation chapter 12.
This is coming, but we just want to warn everybody, be very careful looking at the sun. You know, it's going to take about 5 minutes. If we could see it, it's going to be gone in here. If we see it in 5 minutes, that's how quick.
You could burn a hole in your eye.
That's right. And some people's had a symbol of looking at the sun on the retina of their eye. It's like, you know, like a tube saver on the old picture tube.
A permanent tattoo on your eye, right?
That's right. They have the savers for the screens on the computers, so it don't stay in the same place all the time. What happens? It would burn, especially on the old cathode ray tube TVs.
I would suggest people watch it on television.
That's right.
Don't take a chance.
Yeah, it's going to be on around noon, yeah.
Don't take a chance of hurting your eyes, of damaging your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But the key thing about this also is from the time of the solar eclipse, it's exactly 40 days to the Day of Atonement. God's telling us 40 days. God's trying to tell us something here, I really believe.
And it starts on a new moon, which is the first day of Elul, which is also the first day of Teshuvah.
That's right.
And that Teshuvah means to return or to repent.
It lasts for 30 days. It's going to be an important time in Israel, because the whole month of Teshuvah, those 30 days, they're supposed to be looking at themselves and seeing where they're at with God. It's a time to come back to God. Anytime you see the word in the Bible, it's saying to return in the Hebrew. It means to what? It's a word that means teshuva.
It brings us up to Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
And then the 40 days brings us up to the Day of Atonement.
That's right.
So all of these times and
difference.
These dates are lining up with God's calendar.
Absolutely.
We can't look at our calendar. We can't tell by our calendar. We can't go by August, September, October.
Those are all pagan names anyhow.
We have to go by God's prophetic calendar. And that's why you need to get Pastor Gene's book, because it has the teaching on his calendar. All the feasts of the Lord, all of them, including the Sabbath. The Sabbath is very important. Mm-hmm. A lot of people ignore the Sabbath. They think it's Sunday. Sunday's not the Sabbath. God didn't change the Saturday to Sunday, did he?
No.
No, Jesus rose on the Sunday, but that doesn't mean God changes numbers. God doesn't change numbers.
No.
So the Sabbath is very important. And we're reminded in the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath was even before the Ten Commandments, Pastor Gene. So these all line up. We need to know God's calendar. And so in his book, he has all of these feasts of the Lord, the last two prophetic days, and also what he's going to share on today is in the book.
Right. A part of it, anyhow. It's so much to cover. But we got so much to talk about with it. We'll never get it all done, but we're going to try. I mentioned this last week, and I want to open up and read here to start with in Psalm 19. And this is a psalm of King David. So This is really a prophetic word from David. First one says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And that's what we're going to see. "And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth what knowledge." So David's saying the skies are talking all the time if we just get in tune with what God's doing. "There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." It's everywhere in the world. "Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." A tabernacle, huh? A tabernacle for the sun. I thought about this reading this many years ago. A tabernacle for the, not the S-U-N, I think about, but for the S-O-N, the sun. A tabernacle. And we'll be in that tabernacle one day. Verse 5, "Which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run of a race." Whew, amazing, huh? So who is the bridegroom? His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. And we can go on. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. Remember, God's whole plan is a cyclic plan that God has for these 12 months every year. "And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law, or the Torah of the Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Hear this? I think part of this is a harbinger, a warning. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me, David says, from what? His secret faults. So this is an important word from David in Psalms. Now, I was thinking about this today. Where did this all begin and start with the Hebrew thought with all the constellations and the planets? And the Hebrews have 12 specific constellations that they are involved with. And we know they all have pagan names to start with, but the Jewish people renamed all of them, and there's also a tribe assigned to those planets as well. So as I thought about this, because we're going to talk a little bit about Revelation 12 and the vision that the Apostle John had. If we go over to Genesis chapter 37, I want to show you something here. And this is a pattern, what happened in John's day when he saw this in the heavens. And the heavens were declaring about Yeshua's birth and also the birth of the nation of Israel. I'm going to start in verse 5 in Genesis 37. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more of the dreams he had. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And that happened, remember, when they were in captivity by the Egyptians. Remember, he was raised to the position of second in command, the governor, and all his brothers came and bowed before him. So this was a prophetic word what was going to happen with them as well in the future. Verse 8, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Real cocky, you know. Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. So they just actually literally hated Joseph. That's why they sold him and all the things that happened in the rest of the book of Genesis. Now here's the key verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. See, he'd been better off if he would have been quiet. But he was warning them, he's wanting to help them. And said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun, the S-U-N, and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brother. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee in the earth? To the earth? Well, what happened? It came to pass in the future, didn't it? Quite a few years in the future, but it came to pass. We look at verse 9 now. He dreamed a dream more, and he says, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. So what would these represent? I believe the sun represents the father of these 12 brothers, Jacob, and the moon, which is a picture of Rachel, and the 11 stars made obeisance to him. Whew. This is incredible when you think about it, huh?
Wow.
His brothers, these 11 brothers, bowed to him. Isn't it amazing? And we see this with this vision that John had over in Revelation chapter 12. And so this did happen, and they didn't have spiritual mind or understanding to listen to what he had to say in both of these dreams completely, you know. So here he was up here in chapter 37, verse 7. He became second in command in Egypt, and they all one day came and they all bowed down to him, including his father as well. And so what a picture. And then 9 tells you the other dream, and so that's where we're going to go to now. But Joseph was sold, you know, sold to the Ishmaelites and went for 20 pieces of silver and all the things that happened to him, and all the years went by, but God honored him because he obeyed God in everything that he did, and we have to keep that in mind. So now with this thought, this was a prophetic word that was given to Joseph in a dream, but also it's for all of the people that's lived from the time that Joseph was on the earth all the way down to now. It was still going to come true one day. So I'm going to go over to Revelation chapter 12 with you, and we're going to look at a couple things here. And we can see some powerful things that God's revealing. And John got to see all this. Think about it. John was given the revelation. From Revelation 1, he saw the church age, and then he saw everything from that time all the way out to the end when Yeshua would come back. He got to see all of it. Isn't that amazing? He must have been blown away in his mind to try to comprehend it. So he explained it to the best of his ability with his knowledge he had and the understanding that he had. And so some things we have to try to interpret by the things that he said and the things that he saw. But here in chapter 12, we've got examples before this to help us understand it. Excuse me. So I'm in Revelation chapter 12 now. I'm going to read the first four verses, I think, to start with. And John, the apostle, writes this. And there appeared a great wonder. This is a great, great sign in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon. Here we go. Just what we read over there in Genesis 37. And under her feet and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. This is in Genesis 37. We read a little bit ago. Now, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, or sign. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as he was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. And of course we know that next it tells you about a war in heaven. So this chapter here takes you from the time of the birth of the Messiah, and it's also revealed in what? The birth of the nation of Israel here. We look at verse 1. It says, there appeared a great wonder or sign in heaven, a woman. Who was this woman? Well, we know Mary brought the Messiah into the world, okay? Clothed with the sun and the moon and her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars representing the 12 children of Israel that came not from Mary, but Mary was the one that produced the Messiah. He was, glory be to God, he was incarnated into Mary, his mother, and he became a man on this earth. Yeshua HaMashiach, He's all man and he's all God. So it took a woman to do that. And he was birthed into this world. And he lived for 33 and a half years. And then he died and went back to be with his father. We know that. So it says this woman was clothed with the sun. Interesting thought here. And the moon under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now I've got a drawing here that I made. Quite a few years ago I taught this. And it took a couple of hours to get this done. And I had it on overhead in the church. And this is a picture of the month that Yeshua was born, the month of Tishri, I believe. And I've done a great study on this with a lot of people. Some people believed he was born in 3 BC, some 6, some 4, so on, some even around 0. And well, there's no year 0, okay? And even the church is still hanging on that it was in 33 AD that he died. Could not be too old. He died in 30 AD because I've proven it in my book, and if you read my book, that he died in 3 BC. And so here I have a chart with this picture, and I've just condensed it. And there's a program that you can buy. It's called The Sky that you can put on your computer, and it brings up all the constellations, and you can see where the planets are positioned. And you can look up any year in history, the month, and you'll find out what constellations all these planets were in at that particular time. So what John got to see here was what it looked like in heaven, looking out, and here this was probably 60, 70 years after the birth of Christ, and he got to look out and see all the things that were going on during this month of Tishri, which was the seventh month on the Jewish prophetic calendar. So I've kind of got this drawn. I'll try to explain this if I can. The only constellation that's named after a woman is Virgo, and her name with the Jewish people means Bethulah. What's that mean, huh? That's her name. Bethulah was her name. It's an awesome, incredible name to think about what God gave this constellation. Well, we know the world is named it Virgo, but the Jews have another name for it, Bethulah. And so, hallelujah. Means married, hallelujah. When we think about this now, this picture I have, we see the new moon in it, we see the sun, we have Mercury in this constellation, Venus, and there's a conjunction here between Jupiter, which is the planet of the Messiah, and another star called Regulus, this bright, bright star up in the sky. And then we have Leo in this period of time, during the month of Tishri. And also we have Cancer, another planet all here. And interesting, and Libra's in it also. Interesting thing also, if you look at it, underneath all these planets, there's another constellation. It's a great big long constellation that goes all the way across the sky in this time in Tishri in the year 3 BC. And there was a lot of stars in it. This little drawing I had, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 plus 4 is 14. 14 key stars was revealed in this all the way across under this picture of not the constellations, but of all the planets within the constellation of Virgo. And this thing down at the bottom is named Hydra, and it means the many, many headed dragon. So these are all represents heads of the dragon. And it's Hasatan. Here he is underneath this constellation and what was going to happen. And we just read down here a moment ago. Where was I at? I was going to see if I can find him. So I can read it to you again. Yeah, verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. Hear this? In the constellation, he's underneath all these planets, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So here we see this now. And so we got this is a view of the whole month of Tishri. Well, we see to the left a new moon, and right in the center of Virgo is the sun, and it's very bright. And then to the right of that is Mercury and Venus. But the main thing is the sun is in the middle of Virgo. Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave birth to the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. But we see this picture with the constellation and all the planets. But we go to the left of this now, and we see the new moon. This was Tishri 1. Tishri 1 in the year 3 BC. And so the new moon is slowly moving over toward the sun. So when is it a full moon? What? On Tishri 15. So there's 15 days going to go by until it lined up, as it said in Joseph's vision as well, under the sun. And so we see the new moon. It's moving. If I would look at this on a map, it's moving east and heading over to where the sun is. And we have mentioned we have Venus and Virgo there as well. And then over to the right, further east, we see this great bright planet and star called, it's not a planet, I guess it's a star. It's called Regulus, and it's in conjunction with Jupiter, and which is the Messiah. So it's so bright. So this kind of gives you a clue with this whole month of Tishri here about, we think about what the Magi saw and all that in the heavens. How do they know where to come to Bethlehem? Because of the heavens. So we think about this. Here Mary was pregnant, and she cried out in pain. And this is a concept appearing often in the Bible in a Jewish figure of speech about Jacob's trouble. In the same way, the woman began her birth pangs on the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, this new moon off to the left, okay, at the first coming of the Messiah. So I personally believe the woman will again begin her tribulation birth pangs on the Feast of Trumpets. We talk about this a lot, mm-hmm. Announcing the second coming of the Messiah. I believe this is when it's going to happen again. So we had a foreshadow here with what God was revealing in the heavens. So we're not totally in dark. So we have this wonderful planet, you know, Bethula. That means to be married, and that's the planet that the sun, the S-U-N, was where it was at that particular time. Marvelous, marvelous picture. Hallelujah. So that year, in September 11th of 3 BC, was actually the Feast of Trumpets on that particular year. And so we have an incredible picture if we look at this and see the stars and where they were in place. And you can get this program. It's called Sky, and you can put it on your computer, and you can look at all the constellations, and you can look up any year, any date, and it'll show you so much that you never thought you could understand. And the people that discovered this, they actually kind of stumbled onto it, and then they got looking at it more and more and more with the years, and they were blown away with what they saw in the heavens. And so we just read that in Psalm 19, didn't we? The Psalms, mm-hmm. Huh? 19 says, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. That's the right. Glory of God. So I get excited thinking about this as we look at this really close with some of the things that we see. Hallelujah. And then you can also prove, not in this because it's further out, but we can prove that Hanukkah was the time that Yeshua was conceived in his mother. Hallelujah. Because we go, what, 40 weeks forward? Where do we come to? The birth, we come to the birth of Christ during the Feast of Tabernacles. So this chart that I'm looking at has the new moon, which is a Rosh Hashanah in September. It's the new moon, and it covers also the time of what? The Day of Atonement? And Tabernacles, showing it's all there. And so as we examine the skies even further, we can even find out more things that maybe we might have thought we knew, but we really didn't know. And so it gets me excited to see what's being revealed. And so here we got this planet picture here with all these, where they were all located. And we even have shows Bernice's hair with all these stars up around that time when Christ was being born. It's unbelievable, the things that we can find out. Yeah, in fact, if you look at this, over to just a little bit right of where the sun is, we have a group of stars bunched together, and it's called Bernice's hair. And it's a cluster of 12 mm-hmm. stars in the head of Virgo, right off to the head of the Virgo. It's wonderful to look at it, I'll tell you, just to see. And so, of course, the key thing with me, besides the birth of Christ, is the bright, bright star that was out there in conjunction with the planet Jupiter, which the Jews know is the planet of the Messiah. So why would they call Jupiter the planet of the Messiah? Because if you look at Jupiter real close, up close with a telescope, mm-hmm. there's a burning fire, like a hole in the side of Jupiter. And so they named it the planet of the Messiah. Wonderful, wonderful thing. So it's interesting just to look, and when you put it all together and see this chart in front of you, the astronomy, you know, and we're not talking about the zodiac in a negative way. We're talking about astronomy, okay? We're not trying to tell the future with this or anything. We're studying the stars, and they declare the glory of God. That's it. So we're not talking about astrology. We're talking about astronomy, two different things. So this chapter 12 here in Revelation shows you the birth of the Messiah, and then it goes into the future when the man-child grew up, and what happened? Hydra was there. Hasatan was trying to destroy him even at his birth, but even after that. And then verse 7 says in Revelation 12, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Mm. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Remember, they were kicked out of heaven. Right. And the great dragon, who's this? Hasatan, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Glory be to God. So, this gives us, so then it goes all the way out when this battle went on between the good angels and the bad angels. So we know that one-third of the angels were cast out. But guess what? We have two-thirds of them on our side. Aren't we glad to show all this to us? And so we have some wonderful things to look at if we do this. So if you want to do that, you can order that a program called The Sky. And I think there's a couple segments to it. And you can get the early one. It goes all the way back. And like I said, you can look up any year in history, the day, the month, and it'll show you where all these planets are that God has given a name to, where they're at and located in that particular constellation. So this is amazing that Yeshua was born, hallelujah, hallelujah, when? In the constellation of Virgo was in place when he was born. The mother, okay, hallelujah. And her name means married. Yeshua, one day we're going to be married to him, aren't we, Pastor Donna? And the wedding's going to come. So this is incredible. So I'm going to read this to you again, just to keep this in your mind. Remember, she was prepared, and she was pregnant, and cried out in pain, just like Joseph said over in Genesis 37. A concept, we know this, appearing often in the Bible. What? The birth pangs of the Messiah, or birth pangs is referring to Jacob's trouble. It's a Jewish figure of speech for Jacob's trouble. In the same way, the woman began her birth pangs on the Feast of Trumpets. We saw the new moon off to the left. This was her birth pang started right then. 15 days later, she gave birth to the Messiah on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? And she began, it says, I'll read it again. In the same way, the woman began her birth pangs on the Feast of Trumpets. At the first coming of HaMashiach, I'll say it tomorrow, our Messiah, if the first coming of his coming. So I truly believe this is a pattern for you and I to know and believe that the woman will again begin her tribulation birth pangs on the Feast of Trumpets, announcing the coming of the Messiah. Well, what woman is this? We're talking about birth pangs again. What is it? It's referring to the nation of Israel. So this is also, without the birth of the Messiah and without the mother and all, they wouldn't be a nation, would they?
Mm-hmm.
And so she was also, so we have a pattern here of the birthing of the nation of Israel and also the birthing of the Israel's Messiah that was going to come. I believe this is unreal. Hallelujah. And this Greek word here for woman is the word gune. You know, a woman in the Greek can be a wife or what? Just a woman. So this word is the word gune. Gune. It means just a woman, not a wife. It means gune. Clothed with the sun. We just saw this here in Revelation 12. And the moon. The moon was off to the left. This is the new moon that was coming. Under her feet was the new moon. That's where it was coming to.
Mm-hmm.
And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Bernice's cluster of stars we talked to you about. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in pain. This is talking about Jacob's trouble now. And pain to be delivered. Not only about the time when the Messiah was to come first, you know, it's being birthed, but also there's going to be another pain and trouble come. The birthing of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. The birth pains of the Messiah. And then verse 3, and there appeared another wonder or sign. See, these are both wonders, signs, in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. This is Hasatan. And that constellation we said was named what? Hydra. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now this is interesting. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, what would those 7 heads represent? If you've studied my book, and we've heard us teaching on this for years, the 7 heads represent the 7 major kingdoms down through time that have come against the nation of Israel. And they're all revealed in my writing there. I could speak a little bit about it, but for time's sake, I don't want to go into a lot of it. The first one we know had to be Egypt, okay? That was the first one that came. And so we see how they progressed. You know, Egypt came. And then we had the Assyrians. And then we had the Babylonians. We go all down the line, okay? But the 7th one hasn't come yet. But it's going to come. And then Revelation 17 says, out of the 7th is going to come the 8th. So here's a pattern telling us what's going to happen in the future. Now, John wrote this years ago, and it hasn't happened yet, but it's underway. So this dragon had 7 heads, showing that Satan was controlling all those kingdoms that were coming against Israel. And then it had 10 horns, 10 groups. And so those horns, we know at the end, are going to be what? Nations that are going to be gathered together, the major 10 at the end, to come against Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. And it had 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, crowns shows a symbol of authority and power. Mm-hmm. So there were 7 heads, and it had 7 crowns. So there was a crown upon each one of the heads, showing that power and authority that they had. That's going to come. It's coming in the near future now. And then verse 4 says, and his tail, the tail of who? Of Hasatan. This constellation across the heaven, looks like it's got a big long tail on it. Drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Who's the stars? The angels and all. And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready. Remember, Herod tried to kill all the babies.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was one of them he liked to kill. And so... He's a picture of another symbol of all of what? Of another Hasatan, one to come to steal, kill, and destroy. Remember when they went into Egypt, they wanted to kill all the baby boys. Well, Moses was hid in the bulrushes in a little basket. I always say he was the first basket case in the world. And so he grew up, and you can read the story over there about in Exodus how that happened. And so there was a Pharaoh at that time that tried to destroy all the male babies. So it tells you right here, in his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child.
Mm. Praise the Lord.
Who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up with God, or unto God, and to his throne. Who could that possibly be? It can only be one person. It's going to be Yeshua. It's not talking about the nation of Israel, being caught up. This is talking about a particular person. And she brought forth a man child, Yeshua HaMashiach, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and we will be there also if you're walking with the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. Yeshua right now is sitting on the right hand of Yod-Heh-Vav, our Father. And then it says, and then the woman fled into the wilderness because she was being persecuted, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days, 1,260 days. What an incredible revelation.
Awesome.
And awesome sign that John the Revelator got to see right here in Revelation chapter 12. It's amazing what God gives us. So he gives us a few patterns along the way to teach us and to show us what was going to happen. And then, you know, when we conclude all this, we go out here to Revelation chapter 19, and this is near the end of Jacob's trouble. It is right near. It was more than near. It was right there at the end of Jacob's trouble. But we see what's going to happen here when the marriage supper comes and all that. And I like verse 11, Pushamanda.
Thank you, Lord.
And verse 10 is how we got our church name. At the end of that verse, it says, worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua, or Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, John said, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. We just talked about the crowns over here a moment ago, the people that were coming against what God was doing with the nation of Israel and also the Messiah. And he had a name written that no man knew but him, he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, the blood from Armageddon. And his name is called the Word of God. Can be no one except Yeshua HaMashiach. And the armies which were in heaven, that's you and I that are born again, that are walking with him, all the Old Testament or First Covenant people that walked righteous with God will all be there. And the armies which were in heaven, including the good angels as well, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, the Word of God, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So what came out of his mouth was what? His word. It'll never return void. And verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To me right now, he is my King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he should be with you. If you don't know him, today's a good day to turn your life over to ask him to come into your life. He's faithful and true to forgive you of your sins, and you can move on with him, and you'll have your life changed, and you'll never be the same again. When he comes, you'll feel completely different about yourself and what you're doing and all. You'll have an awareness of God. We talked at church on Sunday about our spirit, soul, and body. You know, the spirit man gives us God consciousness. The soul man gives us self-consciousness. When we come to Christ, that begins to dwane away, the self-consciousness. And then, of course, the body makes us connected with the earth. And so we have to understand. So it's very important. If you don't know him, ask him to come in today. He'll be there that quick, and he'll forgive you of your sins if you're sincere. Verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Yet you may eat the flesh of kings, listen, kings, strong, powerful people in the world, and flesh of captains, and the flesh of many mighty men, and the flesh of horses, all the people in authority, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Verse 19, and I saw the beast, this is the false Messiah, mm-hmm. and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. This mm-hmm. is Armageddon now, and we'll all be there if you're with the Lord. And the beast was taken, the false Messiah, and with him the false prophet. You know, people, we hear things on TV about the false Messiah, the miracles he's going to do. If you read this really, really close, he's not doing the miracles. The false Messiah is doing the miracles. Mm-hmm. And the beast was taken, and him, and with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, hear this, with which mm-hmm. he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire and burning with brimstone. This will be after the 1,000-year reign that he will be cast into the the lake of fire. So right now, think about it. There's no one at all today in a place called Gehenna, in actual hell. They're in a holding pattern, but one day, when all this happens, they'll be moved from that compartment to another compartment, which is called hell, Gehenna. And that's where the fire and brimstone will be, and they will be there for eternity. So we need to pray for the people that are lost, amen? And why will they be there? Because they refused the Messiah, Yeshua, and also they, during Jacob's trouble, they took the beast, the mark of the beast. No way, no way we can do this. And it says in verse 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which word proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. What an incredible picture, amen, that God's revealing in the future for you. And I'm going to read the first two verses, or first three verses of chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid a hold on the dragon, all the names here of Hasatan, the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, what, for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So we have six times in Revelation chapter 20 showing us how long the kingdom of God's going to last before it all comes to a conclusion. It's going to be for a period of what? 1,000 years. Wow. So it's mentioned all those times
awesome.
Right here. If I remember right, I think it's mentioned six times, which is man's number. So we got a lot to be looking forward to. We have nothing to be afraid of. We cast all fear. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we need to walk into the fullness of that. And even looking at this, the heavens, what we see here with these constellations and the planets where they're at. And, you know, these all had pagan names, but the Jewish mm-hmm. people renamed all these planets, and they have their own names for all them. And so, you know, at one time, the Jewish people believed that the earth was the center of the universe. And we know, who knows, it might well be. Well, we're running out of time, and we love you so much. We trust that you got something out of this. If you'd like to get a copy of this tape or CD that we're talking about, all we ask for is a love offering. Make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. If you'd like to get my commentary or the book, it's not a commentary, it's a book that I wrote. We can have that. You can have that book for $25 plus about $4 for shipping and handling. And we'd be glad to get it out. And it's a world of knowledge in there with all these appointed times. They're there for a purpose. They weren't just something God made up. They're there to teach you and I about Yeshua the HaMashiach. And it's, you know, he's been taken out of the picture for so long with these things. We've been left out. And so we're putting him back into place where he belongs. Hallelujah. All right, Pastor Donna.
Praise the Lord.
We close this program. What do we say?
We say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest. And our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. Give us a call, okay?
Amen.
Bless you guys.
Lots more questions to answer.
We're going
to talk a little bit. So we're on this program because we love people. We're raising the standard in the body of Christ. We need to have a holy and a righteous walk. Paul said, if we don't seek holiness, we'll never see the face of God. So, Lord, we thank you for people listening today that are holy, that are chasing after you and not man. They're God chasers, not men chasers. So we release them today to your glory and to your honor. So as we close the program, we tell them every week to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen?
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.